This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
What's sort of the biggest surprise or the thing that shocked you the most or the most stunning thing about it?
Well, number one, how fast it went. I think when we came in, we thought that 4 and certainly 8 years would last forever. I think, but in a serious note, Greta, what surprised me was kind of the willingness of the Republicans in Congress to put their short-term political interests ahead of what's good for the country. I mean, you think about it, the president came into office and we were in the middle of an economic crisis, the worst condition since the Great Depression, far worse than in yours or my lifetime. We had a health care crisis, an energy crisis, a dependence on foreign oil, 2 wars, you name it, lots of challenges going on. And I thought that they would come to the table and really try to work with us to focus on what we could do to move our country forward together. And so it was disappointing and surprising that they didn't.
Maybe because they followed the example of the Democrats and President Obama, who said, hey, look at, it's elections do have consequences. By the way, sidebar, Greta Van Susteren returned to TV on MSNBC. That's a bit curious. May usher in something in terms of the NBC network. You got Megyn Kelly going to, the big NBC and Greta Van Susteren staying on the cable side with MSNBC. But it's good to have her back. She is way too gifted and talented to not be, part of the narrative. But anyway, getting back to what Valerie Jarrett had to say, Scott, this is the same woman who said, look, this has been a scandal-free administration. The president is proud of that fact, she says. Even Josh Earnest the other day echoed that sentiment again, that, this has been a scandal-free administration. But yet everybody is saying, what was it? One of the resources said there were like 663 scandals. You and I, we sat there and counted down. We got down to, I think we did, somewhere between 7, 8, 11, just right off the top of our heads really quick. But you really start breaking these down. I mean, it is like endless in terms of the scandals. But anyway, it's really unfortunate. And I think this is part of the frustration of the everyman in this country. And Donald Trump has his work cut out for him, because it's not like he's coming in and inheriting something where everybody's already got the, the choir sheets. They all know all 63 verses of Kumbaya. I mean, there's food fights there. If we're not fighting over artwork, which is ridiculous in the Capitol, and how the Democrats can support artwork that depicts policemen as pigs, is beyond me.
We have that going on here in Minnesota as well. They just remodeled our Capitol,
mm-hmm.
and they're arguing about where painting should be put.
Right.
That's their big thing that they're arguing about.
Well, they're not depicting police as pigs in those paintings, are they?
Well, some of them are. They're saying are insensitive to the Native Americans.
Well,
they should be taken out.
Right. The Native Americans will win that one. I mean, they'll always, because they'll find something. I mean, if the Native Americans are involved, that's almost a given. If they challenge it,
it's not really them challenging it. It's somebody being offended for somebody else that may not be offended by it.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
There's a lot of that going on right now.
Uh-huh. Right.
And to be fair, here in Minnesota, we have a very the Native American tribes around here are actually very involved with the everything in Minnesota.
With the government and the communities and all
that?
They're
just really involved with everything. Mm-hmm. They helped when the U of M wanted to build their new football stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Native Americans that stepped up and donated a bunch of money to do it.
Wow.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens when you have people united, thinking as one, as opposed to their own selfish desires. And unfortunately, you know, the Democrats right now are still pouting. They need to get over it so that they can, you know, attend to the job that's at hand. We need them in the fight, no doubt.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email, we'd love to hear from you. Hey, appreciate the comments, good, bad, even the pithy ones. You know, the fact that you even take the time and even want to get involved. I'd say, hey, good on you. Keep it up. Let me know your thoughts. You know, drop me an email. It comes to me direct, Bill, at BillMartinezLive.com. Congratulations, by the way, to all our winners that are getting their free Hillsong United DVD, the movie Let Hope Rise. We sent them all out. Congratulations. They should be arriving in your mailbox, and you will enjoy the movie that will blow your mind away. It is quite a blessing. Larry Swikert, Dr. Swikert is with us, a retired professor of history at the University of Dayton and the co-author of A Patriot's History of the United States, a number one New York Times bestseller, also author of Seven Events That Made America America and 48 Liberal Lies About American History. He is the co-author of the upcoming books, How Trump Won and The Politically Incorrect Guide to the American Revolution. Dr. Swikert lives in Arizona, so you got a little bit of a cold front there, don't you? Just a little bit there in Chandler.
Oh heck, no! I just got back from New York City last night, and I got to tell you, there's nothing like Arizona.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, I'm spoiled here in Florida. I mean, we got snow and ice in 49 of the states. Florida is without snow and ice right now, and so we got no complaints, although I couldn't get on my bike this morning. It was raining a little bit, so I had bike interruptus. So, you know, I'm a little cranky because I didn't get my morning exercise, so I'll have to get it in
a
little bit later on.
I've got a lot of history down there in Florida back in my rock and roll days.
Oh, yeah.
We were based out of Pascagoula, but our main playing area was through Sarasota, Lakeland, West Palm Beach. We opened for Steppenwolf over in West Palm Beach and Tampa.
Oh, wow.
Played
wow.
Tampa a lot.
Uh-huh.
And so I know Florida.
Well, good fun. You opened for Steppenwolf. Oh, my goodness. And does that bring back some memories of my disc jockey days in Los Angeles, all the records and that I played? I was teasing my friend Paul Williams, of course, who's the president of ASCAP, right? I said, hey, for all the songs I played, you know, you ought to at least, you know, shovel off at least 10% of your royalty to me. I mean, you know, I really kept you in good stead all those years. He says, yeah,
well,
I might have to work that out.
Your bumper music, you know, for what it's worth, the Buffalo Springfield, which is kind of interesting. I did a book with Mark Stein, but who, by the way, lives in Fort Lauderdale. He's a Mark Stein, the keyboard player, singer from Vanilla Fudge.
Uh-huh,
and
right.
We did a book called You Keep Me Hanging On, which is the history of rock and roll. And so it's interesting that in doing that book, you know, I found out that For What It's Worth was not written about the Vietnam War. It was written about a fairly local little riot that took place on the Sunset Strip.
Yes. Right. And the thing, well, you know, of course, during that period of time, everything was all perceived, you know, through Vietnam and the civil unrest that was going on as a result, right. Draft dodging and all that. So everything, you know, the worldview definitely got a hold of it, no doubt about it. Well, Larry, you and I could go down memory lane. We could spend a lot of time together. Let me tell you here, you start talking about Steppenwolf and Vanilla Fudge and all that, man, I'll tell you, that opens up a part of my brain that, like I said, we'll have to save that one for another day. Although we're going to have some fun with your new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Presidents. And this is part one, From Washington to Taft, huh?
Yes, and before you even ask, part two has already come out. It was a weird thing. It came out a year ago by Steve Hayward, and I think they released part two first because it went through Obama, and they wanted to make sure they got Obama in before he left office.
Oh, you wanted to be like Lucas. You just want to be like Star Wars. Do the episodes didn't matter in any version.
Pretty cool.
Because then you drive all us compulsive A-types that want things in order, chronological order. You drive us nuts by doing things reversing the order like that, right?
I promise the readers, no Jar Jar in this one. No Jar Jar.
Okay, so give us the rundown here.
Well, I went through the presidents from Washington to Taft. Each one gets about 5 to 8 pages, including a constitutional grade, which was a pattern set in the first book, and I think it's a very good one, because after all, a president's first responsibility is to carry out the Constitution in terms of what's happening in the country at the time, you know, and so therefore I give Lincoln a higher grade than a lot of libertarians do, because a lot of the violations of civil rights and free speech and that sort of stuff, it takes place in a war.
Right.
And Lincoln constantly is appealing to the Constitution and saying, my first job as president is to keep the country together, to save the nation. And if I don't save the nation, the other things that I might do within the Constitution are irrelevant.
Exactly.
And he says, let the people decide with the election in 1864, which, of course, they did.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in terms of that, I mean, this is something you bring up a critical point here. And whether we're talking about the Supreme Court or the president or other legislators, you know, people that are elected and serving our government, you know, what is their worldview on the Constitution? Are they originalists or do they believe, you know, like Barack Obama, for example, who believes that it's rather elastic in nature and still interpretive? And, you know, it leaves room, leaves wiggle room. So what did you find with our presidents here?
Well, the first ones, of course, were incredibly loyal and pretty rigid when it came to the Constitution. After all, James Madison wrote the darn thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that they were all very aware of precedent. Even some of the later ones, and you see this obviously with Washington, who knows that every single action he takes is going to be measured not just in its effectiveness, but as a yardstick for what future presidents can and should do.
Exactly.
And so he carefully avoids a war with France or England when those two are fighting by claiming, well, we have a previous peace treaty with France that obligates us to no armed conflict and so forth. And we're just going to observe that and not draft a new treaty, which would have required him to go to the Senate. And so he set a pattern there of executive action that basically kept the U.S. out of war. And then we see it again, interestingly, with a vice president, which is when Harrison dies in office. Here's a lesson for you kids. Don't make long speeches. he gave an inauguration speech over an hour in the cold and caught cold. And
what do you think?
Died.
He was John Kerry or something? What is going on here? You know?
Yeah, alert. Yeah. And as a result, John Tyler takes over right away. And what's interesting about him, again, he appeals to precedent. You know, you read his stuff and he said, I took power right away without any question. I didn't go to Congress to see if it was okay because the Constitution said, you know, the vice president accedes to the office. So he wanted no controversy.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, we've got a Constitution. Oh, yeah, by the way, a lot of people died for that, right? So why doesn't it matter? It definitely matters a lot here. We'll continue the conversation with Dr. Larry Schweikert, retired professor of history at the University of Dayton and the co-author of Patriots History of the United States, a number one New York Times bestseller. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We've got more from Dr. Schweikert right after this.
Piedmont attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hello again. My name is Gary Clark. I'm the actor who's turning 80 in August who played the part of Steve on the 1960s Western TV series, The Virginian. Now, those of you who've suffered the side effects of prescribed medicines know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have watched the devastating effects that worrying about you has had on your loved ones. And what I shared a few months ago is only part of the story. I neglected to mention how One World Whey protein powder has affected my life. Now, I realize this is not dinner table conversation, but here goes anyway. One World Whey solved my irregularity. I've been plagued with constipation for years, and I thought it would be that way for the rest of my life. 3 weeks on One World Whey set me on a new path. That was 5 months ago, and I haven't been irregular since. Will it work the same way for you? I don't know. It worked for me.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Had it been the sweet Paris air permeating the night? The intoxicating way her beauty had overtaken him? Whatever the case back then, Jordan Dunleavy is still in love with the memory of Lauren, the woman he'd lost so many years before. In Bookstore on the Scent, The Journey of a Conspiracy Analyst, author C.L. Hendeman ties conspiracy theories, mystery, irony, and romance into the stimulating novel that masterfully interweaves the past with the present. Available on Amazon and Kindle and at bookstoreonthescent.com. That's S-E-I-N-E.com. Bookstoreonthescent.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas.
When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME11 to 42424.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
When did I forget you always the king of the world? I try to take life right out of the hands of the king of the world. How
just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. We're talking about the hijacking of American history, how political correctness has destroyed the image of America's greatest presidents. Dr. Larry Schweikert is with us, a retired professor of history at the University of Dayton, and his new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Presidents, is part one, from Washington to Taft. And most amazing, Larry, and I'm glad to hear you say this, that academia has really rewritten history and has really, you know, taken away the heroic aspect of the presidents of this great country of ours and what they, you know, what they gave us. And that is a loss for us when you think about the not only forgotten, but the rewritten history and what they've done to us.
Absolutely. And, you know, the one thing that I came away with writing this book was how, whether you like the president or not, I mean, Andrew Jackson is not my favorite. I had some problems with Teddy Roosevelt, but every one of these guys loved America. Mm-hmm. And they wanted America to be great and to succeed. And there wasn't a single doubt with anyone on, gee, is this guy trying to sabotage the country? I mean, it just, their love for the country was amazing. And, you know, there's some really touching things that people just don't know about. One of the things that really struck me, and I don't know, I'm not a Madison scholar, and Madison's kind of a hard guy to get into. He wasn't.
I love Madison. He was born on my birthday, so I got to love him. So, you know.
Well, I mean, he was, but he's not a very emotional guy.
No.
Although he writes with great proficiency, he doesn't really write about himself a lot. And yet, one of the more touching scenes was that he held an event at the White House, and all of these Revolutionary War vets came to see him, and they said that as they would come up, all they would say to him was the name of the battle they were in. And a guy would come and go, Morristown, sir, and shake his hand. Another one would come up, you know, Valley Forge, sir, Yorktown, sir, Saratoga, sir. And that just brought tears to my eyes, imagining that image of these guys, you know, 30 years after the fact, coming up and saying, you know, we put you here.
we were there. I mean, and this is, and you have, in some sense, the same thing. I mean, though we have a lot of World War II vets that are going on to their next greatest reward for what they have done, and, you know, whether it was the European theater, the Pacific theater that they were in, you know, in much the same way. And if you have any connection with your heart and love for this country, you cannot help but want to, you know, just love and embrace these patriots. I mean, we see them on these honor flights, you know, going to D.C., and I see them in airports in all my travel, Larry, and I'm just so touched and moved by that. My dad was a World War II vet, and he passed 12 years ago. You know, and I see my dad and each one of these men, you know, going through these airports.
Well, and of course, most of the early presidents, except for the two Adamses, had served in one way or another in the military. Now, Jefferson's an exception. He was governor of Virginia during the Revolution and evacuated Richmond when the British appeared. But, you know, almost all of the rest of them in some way had military service. Many of them fought in the Revolution, as did Madison and Monroe. And, of course, Jackson goes on to be a really a great military hero for his exploits at the Battle of New Orleans. Jackson gets kind of a bad rap from modern historians, who used to love him, by the way. Mm-hmm. 50 years ago, Arthur Schlesinger writes this book, The Age of Jackson, and he wrote about how democracy was foaming perilously near the crest, you know, and he and Charles Beard and people like, democracy is foaming perilously near the crest. Oh, gee, we almost had pure democracy in America with Jackson. And then, you know, let 20 years go by, and all of a sudden, now this guy's a racist and a hater and hates Indians and so forth. And the fact is, there's some truth to that. Jackson did not like Indians, but it wasn't just because he was a racist. Of course, many people at the time shared his views. Probably most in the world at that time were racist of one sort or another. But the fact was that Jackson had a problem with the Cherokee, and it was that they supported the British in the Revolution, and he was right there. He fought them, and he thought they were traitors.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, the stories abound here in this book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Presidents, Part 1. You also talk about Thomas Jefferson, who on the surface is recognized as a champion for small government. But you're saying that maybe because there was a quote that was misattributed to him.
Well, the government that governs least governs best, and the presumption is that the government governs best of all is no government at all.
Right.
Jefferson, of course, did not believe in no government, and Jefferson was kind of like Newt Gingrich today, full of incredibly brilliant ideas, but often he kind of lets his mind wander and he says whatever's on his mind. And so as a result, we have a lot of kind of phrases or miscellaneous ideas out there from Jefferson that aren't really tied to a lot of other of his ideas. Mm-hmm. In his administration, the fact is that Jefferson was the first president to engage us in a foreign war, the Barbary Pirates, which I think was fully justified.
Right.
He did so without a declaration of war. He did so with a joint resolution of Congress, which I think under the circumstances was justified. But it's not small government. And And he also tasked his Secretary of the Treasury, Albert Gallatin, in the last year of his presidency to create what we would today call an infrastructure bill for harbors and roads and bridges that came to $20 million. Now, in the context of the day, that was double the whole federal budget in 1807. Mm-hmm. So that's hardly small government. I think just to end on this, the point that I want to make is that none of the early presidents, I mean, well up into TR, ever used the terms big government or small government. For them, it was always good government or bad government. They equated good with smaller, but not all the time.
Right. Well, speaking of TR, you say he was both a progressive and a diehard patriot.
That's right. Yeah, I've got, as many conservatives do, problems with Roosevelt's progressive policies, his economic policies, his trust busting, which was really kind of a bullseye on the necks of big business. And the way I interpret this from the research I've done on Roosevelt is this all came because Roosevelt had personal experience in almost everything. The guy was incredible. He was a hunter. He was a soldier. He was a writer. He was a journalist. He'd done almost everything. The one thing he never really
he was like he was the ultimate man's man, wasn't he?
He was a man's man, and he didn't start out that way. He started out as kind of a sissy, and he made himself into a man's man, but he never ran a business.
Right.
And as a result, he did have a cattle ranch that was kind of owned by his parents, and he didn't really manage it. And so he never got that sense of what it was needed to meet a payroll or to turn a profit. To serve people's needs in the marketplace. I think if he had done that, you would not have seen the progressive Teddy Roosevelt that many people saw. But
exactly.
He was a patriot. He was an absolute patriot. He loved America. Would I want to be in a foxhole with Teddy Roosevelt? Absolutely. Only president to win a Medal of Honor and a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, amazing. And a Nobel Peace Prize the real way, right?
The real way for peace.
Exactly. And he was an America first kind of guy too.
He was
no doubt.
Here's another thing. They all were up until Ike. Now I don't go from Wilson to Eisenhower, but Reagan is the first one to really break with the notion of tariffs and America, and when we're talking economics here, not national defense, of having tariffs or protected industry. They all believed in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Larry, you've got a lot of activity going on, and we want to direct people to your website because not only this, you've got the new book, How Trump Won, coming out. How can they be in touch with you really quick? We've got about 5 seconds.
Sure. PatriotsHistoryUSA.com. All one word. PatriotsHistoryUSA.com.
Dr. Larry Schweikert. I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Larry.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from physical and mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. There are a number number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. 800-989-1396. That's 800-989-1396.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
The following is an incredible, life-changing, free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now. 1-800-719-4926. Call now and you'll also qualify for free shipping. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear things crisply and clearly, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so small and discreet, people usually don't even notice you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear things more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial and free shipping. If you like it, you could even get free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-719-4926. That's 1-800-719-4926. 1-800-719-4926.
Hey, DC. There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
I'm running to the one who knows me, who made every part of me in his hand. I'm holding to the one who holds me, cause I know who I am, I know who I am. I am sure I am yours.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just wait, likely fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, a lot of discussion these days about land use. And, you know, with some of the things executive action-wise the president has taken, I know a lot of people do not quite understand. They say, well, that's kind of nuanced. I just don't quite understand what's going on. And I know we need to protect the environment and be good stewards. But, you know, you've got local people that having issues with this. Well, we're going to be talking about some smart solutions here for energy development near national parks. And I say smart because there's empirical evidence that this is working. Locals guiding development on public lands through the use of master leasing plans. You may not have heard that term, master leasing plans, but they arose as a solution to a difficult problem, and that is how to balance national park protection, outdoor recreation economies, and energy development throughout the Southwest. Now, the answer is to let locals decide. This is what we're finding out experientially. Now, when representatives from the conservation, outdoor recreation, and sportsman communities come together with industry before leases are offered, you know, they can work together to figure out where energy development should and should not go. And here to help us understand even more is Nick Lund. He is the NPCA Senior Manager for Landscape Conservation. His focus is on preventing harm to national parks from oil and gas development and infrastructure. He works to ensure that legislative efforts to open up national parks to fossil fuel development are defeated, and to work with federal land managers to ensure the protection of America's national park, air, water, wildlife, as well as the natural experience enjoyed by millions of annual visitors. Nick Lund, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, Nick, explain for the good folks the master leasing plans and how they came about.
Sure. Well, you explained it really well, I think. You know, there was a problem on public lands out west where there was a lot of interest in oil and gas leasing, but there are also a lot of other people who use those lands. Sportsmen and hunters, outdoor recreation businesses, and businesses that relied on people visiting and enjoying national parks. And so when federal land managers would lease some of these lands, outdoor recreation businesses and tourism businesses could be hurt. So master leasing plans came in as a solution, and the solution was just as you said, is that before leases happen, you get all these locals in the room. You get stakeholders who are potentially impacted by leasing in their in their areas. You get them into a room with industry and with other businesses and other local people, and you hash it out. You try to figure out where leasing can happen and maybe where it shouldn't happen in order to protect the other interests of the land.
Well, we're hearing a lot in terms of it being more on one side than the other these days. And like anything, you know, you always got that fulcrum coming back. You know, it seems to always swing from 180 to the other 180 as opposed to somewhere in the
That's
middle.
Right.
Are we finding some middle ground here? I mean, on the surface, this idea sounds really good, getting everybody together. Are we seeing results when we get everybody together where there is that balance to where, you know, everybody gets what they need, you know, out of the land?
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, have you heard that expression where that, you know, a compromise is working when everyone is a little unhappy with it?
Yes,
I think
exactly.
I think that's the way that works here, where, you know, the oil and gas companies, they want to be able to do whatever they want on wherever they want. And then the people on the far left, they don't want any drilling anywhere. But these plans find a balance. They go to the middle. They bring the people together who are actually impacted, and they allow them to have a much larger say in where the leases happen. That way, at the end result, is that nobody quite gets everything they want, but everybody's interests are heard, and everybody gets a little something.
Well, what I like about this plan and the way it's been working out, of course, I grew up in California where it was an absolute mess. I mean, we were young kids. I mean, the environment, it was such a mess there. You know, fortunately, we were on the coast, so we didn't have as many cough days. But whenever we went inland a bit into Los Angeles, wow, it was a disaster. I remember playing baseball as a young kid, and we had to bring oxygen tanks with us. It was so bad, but it has cleared up. So there's been some real positives when everybody can come together and understand that we have an important role to play here. And we can balance these things out in a responsible way. So, you know, I am grateful. I am grateful for those that have supported responsible energy development and those in environmentalists. You know, it's not like they're, you know, everybody's bad people and they're anti-government. But, you know, I like it when it's win-win. It's a win-win proposition.
Yeah, and it's really about protecting businesses. You know, you know, for example, the Moab area in Utah with Arches and Canyonlands there, they bring $260 million a year into the local economy. These are people coming from all over the world to visit these famous, beautiful parks. And those businesses can't be removed. You can't. There's no other Arches and Canyonlands. So those places need to be
preserved,
to be kept in mind, and those businesses need to be, you know, make sure that they are considered when leasing happens, which may affect people wanting to visit these places. If they come and visit Arches and Canyonlands and they're coughing the whole time, or they look out and they see just an industrial landscape, you know, they don't want to come back. We need to protect these things for everyone. Doesn't mean that energy development can't happen. It just means that it should be done with consideration of the other businesses and the other uses of the lands and the environment.
Right. Well, Nick, does much energy development occur near national parks today?
Yeah, all over the place. I don't quite have numbers for exactly near national parks, but, you know, there are 32 million acres of public lands currently leased right now. It happens, there is some development in national parks, believe it or not. There's lots right on the border of national parks, and that stretches anywhere up from Theodore Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota all the way down to Carlsbad Caverns National Park in southern New Mexico. So it happens a lot, and if it's not, you know, consideration isn't given and thought isn't given, then it can really have a negative impact on the quality and experience of national parks.
And this is why a local buy-in is so important, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, mean, these lands are in these people's backyards. These are the people who've set up their businesses to rely on using a land to support outdoor recreation or park visitation, and whose businesses are in the way and potentially harmed by improperly sited development. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to have that sort of local voice, because then you get a solution that actually works for the people on the ground.
Nick, do you think that President-elect Trump is anti-master leasing plans, or is that still yet to be negotiated and understood?
Still yet to be known. We know that President-elect Trump knows the value of national parks. He knows that they are a great draw for people all around the world. We also know that he supports energy development. We don't know how much experience or how much he knows about MLPs, master leasing plans themselves. A lot of people don't know about them. So that's why we're trying to get the word out and educate folks that this is a solution that works for all sides. This isn't supporting one industry at the expense of another industry. This is finding a balance that works for everyone.
Well, Nick, what's being reported is roughly about, 10% of, these government-controlled lands are in use right now, roughly, for energy use. Do you see that expanding at all, or do you think that 10% is the right number?
It depends on how leasing goes. I mean, the price of oil and gas has been depressed over the last few years, and so there's been less of a demand to use all lands, but public lands as well. Depending on how the market goes, that number may go up or down, and that's fine as long as it's done in a way that respects the other uses of the land.
Exactly. Well, I think we have an opportunity, certainly in our lifetime, to do what has been said for many years. I think we've even had beauty contestants saying, along with peace in the Middle East, they wanted America to be energy independent. Of course, I jest, but thinking, we're at a near possibility of having that. But I, like you, Nick, I don't want to do it at the expense of our, ruining our natural resources.
Yeah, I mean, the national parks are what makes America great already. And so
exactly.
We can still have development, we can still have energy, but we can also still have national parks.
And this is where the master leasing plans come into play. Where can everybody go for more information, Nick?
Sure, you can come on to our website, npca.org. There's reports and info. You can get involved, become a member, stand up for national parks.
Nick Lund, Senior Manager for Landscape Conservation with the NPCA. Nick, thank you so much for sharing some great stuff here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
You got it. 18 minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many of the nation's top plans, Walgreens offers copays now as low as $0 on select plans. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, which means you could be saving big. So switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy. Applies to Tier 1 generics.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
How would you like to pay less taxes? Listen, there are two things every American's going to do in their lifetime: die and pay taxes. If you want to live longer, exercise and eat right. We really can't help you much there. But we can help you pay less taxes. If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in back taxes, you've got two choices. First, you pay them exactly what they want. Wrong answer. Second choice, you call my friends at the Tax Relief Line. They'll call the IRS for you and help you pay less, in some cases, a lot less. They have a track record of saving their clients thousands of dollars. Listen, if you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, call now and see how much we can save you. 866-657-8520. 866-657-8520. That's 866-657-8520.
For years, you've looked for safe solutions to protect what you've worked so hard to build.
How do you weather the next market correction with confidence?
Now there's a way to conquer the technology hurdle and help protect your profits without buying an annuity in any market condition. Introducing WealthGuard from OnTheMarkMoney.com. WealthGuard lets you know in advance if your accounts are dropping, an early warning system that tracks all your accounts. Get WealthGuard today, 100% free. Go to OnTheMarkMoney.com. That's OnTheMarkMoney.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. You know, much is being said about the economy these days that, you know, you hear all these experts that are saying, boy, we're in for one economic crisis. It is more imminent than you realize, and that a crash of the stock market is looming. And I know you go, well, how can that be? I mean, we're so close to 20,000. I mean, record numbers happening in the stock market. But all that set aside, you know, the big question is, how do you protect yourself from the tough challenges ahead? We have financial expert Harry Dent with us. He's here to help you prepare. In fact, he's written a book that will even be additional help to you, titled The Sale of a Lifetime. He offers practical, accessible, and illuminating tips, I might say. And unlike other experts out there, Dent will help you cash in on the unique opportunities of the next few years, just above the horizon for us right now. Harry Dent, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Yeah, nice to be here, Bill.
Hey, good to have you with us. Like any opportunity, when anything moves to the left, there's opportunity to the right. You just have to be open to consider the bigger pictures when you see things like this happen, don't you?
Yes, yes. And, you know, and the markets move in both directions. I'm a cycle guy, and the time when the markets made the biggest move in the shortest period of time was late 29 to late 1932. That was the time, if you'd have been like Joseph Kennedy and you'd have gotten out of the risky markets like stocks and real estate and then rebought when that sudden reset happened. And these resets happen after you see demographic booms from generations peak, and especially when you get bubbles in financial assets and debt bubbles. And boy, we've had the greatest debt bubble around the world in history in the last couple of decades. That's when you get this reset. Debt has to deleverage. These bubbles have to burst. And that's a period where if you do the right things, which most people won't, you can make a fortune in a small amount of time, whether in your business or in your investments.
Exactly. Well, you're saying this great bubble burst is coming 2017 to 2019. And as you say, it can make you rich with the right decisions.
Yes. I mean, in the fastest time in history, precisely because so few people see it. See, I tell people, it's not that bubbles aren't obvious. They're totally obvious. I go through this book and show every bubble in history. They all look alike. It actually looks like the Masters and Johnson's male orgasm that they documented in the 50s. I mean, it really does.
Right.
Because that's what it is. It's a financial exponential thing that has a blow-off thing, and then it crashes. Bubbles don't have soft landings, and we're not going to see one in China or in our stock market. This is the third stock bubble we've had because the government has pumped up this one artificially after the other two burst, and now there's no fundamental trends. I've got four cycles in this book that have taken me 30 years, starting with demographic generation cycles and then adding three more, and they all point down at the same time. This only happens twice in a century. It happened twice in the 1800s, twice in the last century, and that was the mid-70s and the early 30s, the two worst financial crises and stock crashes we've seen in the last century. So these next 3 years is when this should happen, and I'm just waiting for the Trump blow-off rally, the final stage, to run its course. And I think that probably go into summer, my best guess. And then people should watch out, because when you see major financial crisis and crashes throughout history, late July to October is when they're most likely to hit. And you can see 40% crashes in just a matter of months when a bubble first bursts.
Why is it July through October? What's going on?
You know, I don't know. It's just that is the crash season. A lot of bottoms have come in October. A lot of tops have come between July and August or September at the latest. It's I don't know why that one, but it's very obvious throughout history. But I also give it, you know, Trump's going to get a honeymoon here. The markets have bought hook, line, and sinker that he's going to suddenly create 4% growth. That is not going to happen. That is my promise to your audience. We've had free money for companies for the last 8 years. And all they've done is use it to buy back their stocks and do mergers and acquisitions. They haven't been investing in new employment and capacity. All we've been doing is hiring back the people who lost their jobs in 2008 and 9, Great Recession. And we're about at the end of that rope where now we're back at full employment, 4.6, 4.7%. So we're not going to be able to do that much longer. Our workforce, which I can project decades ahead, just like spending in our economy and other demographic trends, it's going to be zero or negative. And productivity has gone from 3% decades ago down to zero because older people don't get more productive, don't spend more money. They pay down debt, they save, and then they die.
Right.
And they retire, and then they die. So these are predictable things. And economists don't look at demographics. And but the biggest thing we say, in again, I don't believe in black swans. Every time there's a big crash like 2008 or 1929 to 30, people say, oh, nobody could have seen that. It was a 1 out of 100 event. No. These things, there are no black swans. Bubbles build predictably, and they burst predictably.
Well, in much the same way with Reagan, when Reagan took over, we had reset to take place, not to the extent of a 1929 or 2008, for example, but there was a resetting, and the government almost had to redefine itself because it had gotten used to the Carter economy, and things needed to be done. And it takes some time to get out of the morass, doesn't it?
It does. You know, that was an inflation reset. I can also predict inflation with demographics, and it was due to peak in the late 70s and then deleveraged. So that hurt a lot of industries, including oil and stuff. And 82 was also the bottom of the Bob Hope generation spending cycle. In 83 on, the baby boomers took over and created the greatest boom in history. And I didn't get onto demographics fully until the late 80s, but demographic trends told me Japan was going to crash in the 90s while U.S. and Europe were going to see the strongest booms in their history because our baby booms came and our bubbles came later than Japan.
Well, Harry, you say that the official inflation numbers are misleading. When I read that, I go, man, do you have your thumb on the pulse here correctly? Because I have seen this. And you noted that inflation is at historically low levels, but the cost of childcare, healthcare, college tuition are at historic heights. And dare we mention the $6 trillion of printed money the Fed threw into the marketplace?
Right, and it's $13 trillion globally. But inflation peaked with the baby boom entering the workforce, and that's my indicator for that, and surprisingly accurate. I said inflation was going to continue to fall to near zero in the 90s and in roaring 2000s, and then we would get deflation later in this decade, when more baby boomers started to retire than millennials entered the workforce, because young people are inflationary and cost to incorporate. Older people downsize everything, and they're deflationary. So demographics even drives inflation beyond the shorter-term cycles and oil prices and all this sort of stuff and recessions and stuff. So, you know, we tell people, number one, demographics will allow you to see the broader trends in the economy, boom and bust, inflation and deflation, decades in advance when economists don't even have a clue. Mm-hmm. And the most important point and unique to this book of my series of books I've written is, hey, we look at bubbles. This is what a bubble looks like. If it looks like a bubble, quacks like a bubble, it's a bubble. And
right.
This is the greatest bubble in history, especially in China.
Wow.
When China blows,
yeah, exactly.
Mark my words on this, when China blows, it's going to be like an elephant falling over.
Well, Harry, in your book, The Sale of a Lifetime, you warn everyone that basically what they've done in the past is not the kind of strategy they need in order to take advantage of this great bubble burst of 2017 to 2019 that can make us rich. What's your recommendation?
Well, you know, the simplest thing, you get out of risky assets, which have all bubbled. Commodities have already kind of collapsed, you know, 70-80% as I predicted years ago. But real estate and stocks and junk bonds are going to follow. So you get out of those risky investments over the next several months while this Trump rally builds. And I would say start to worry the closer we get to July and the closer the Dow gets to 22,000. I think we may have that left in this blow-off rally.
Mm-hmm.
And you get into bonds. And guess what? Right now, the safest bonds, the 10 and 20, 30-year treasuries and corporate AAA, those yields are going up because governments pushed them down so far, so you're just having a natural cycle reverse. So this is going to be a great time in the next several months to get out of stocks and give up those darn dividends at 2% or whatever you're getting, and get a 3% plus yield on a government 30-year bond, which will appreciate if we have this deflationary downturn I'm talking about that happened once in a lifetime like the 1930s. AAA corporates and government treasuries were the only sectors of investment that did well throughout the whole 1930s when everything else crashed and struggled to come back.
What about real estate opportunities?
Well, same thing. I mean, real estate, the best place to be is cash flow positive real estate for rentals, but everything else, especially large homes, McMansions, are going to crash because the aging baby boomers are going to want smaller homes downtown or in ex-urban areas, and the millennials are nowhere near buying trophy homes.
Right,
so
exactly.
So real estate's going to go down. Commercial always gets hit the hardest.
Yes.
And then the same thing. Hey, you buy when things go down. But I do warn in the book that real estate is the one thing that is going to be most hit by demographics because real estate lasts forever. And so when the next generation is only as large or in many countries substantially smaller than the baby boom, you'll never need more real estate. The net demand for real estate is going to go down in the United States when I subtract the dyers from the buyers, I call it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until 2039. So real estate's not going to come roaring back. I'd rather invest in emerging market stocks and commodities when this crash happens.
Well, Harry Dent, where can people go for more information?
DentResearch.com. We've got a free newsletter so you can get to know us over the next 6 months, and hopefully we can convince you to make some of these moves. And, of course, the book just came out on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles and bookstores.
Well, great. Harry Dent, thank you so much. Some great ideas here, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you take advantage of it. Get your hands on his book, The Sale of a Lifetime, How the Great Bubble Burst of 2017-2019 Can Make You Rich. Why not? Harry Dent, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Offer not valid in all states and where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com. And you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.